Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Many years I've sat and watched people behind this pulpit. Many people behind this pulpit have poured into my lives. But today I get the opportunity, and I'm not taking it lightly, Bishop. I thank you, and I appreciate that. And as he mentioned, Kings Bay Kids Live Service. So tonight is our last episode of Kings Bay Kids Live Service. It has been a joy, but having an opportunity tonight to preach to people instead of puppets or the camera is what I'm excited about. But yes, thank you. Go ahead and clap. So we were able to do 21 episodes of Kings Bay Kids Live. So I want to take a moment to say thank you to everyone that had a part, a Bible story, a puppet, anything at all. It certainly wouldn't have been possible without your help. So I want to take the opportunity and say thank you, guys. Someone came up to me and said, Pastor Travis, is this really what happens in kids' church? I had no idea. I'm like, this is a video production of what happens. If you want to come see it live, you know, this is what we can do with puppets and a camera. So, but it's definitely been a great opportunity. And what I've enjoyed most about it is the opportunity for the parents to see. Because usually you just come in and you drop off and you don't get to see what we really do, what we're teaching. You know, as Pastor said, some get the impression it might be like babysitting, but it's certainly not that. We are giving them the Word of God, and we're doing it in a fun, miraculous way. So thank you, guys, if you were able to watch. If not, they're on YouTube. Go back and watch them all. There's 21 episodes. After this service, we might even sell some CDs, right? Right. All right. Well, if I told you I was super excited tonight, I would be a little non-truthful. I've been super excited for 2 weeks since I was told I was going to get the opportunity. I was super excited this morning when I came into church and prepared. But about lunchtime, everything started to change because then it got real. So, but I know it's going to be great. God has given me a word. And if no one else is it's for, it's definitely for me. But I know that you're going to be blessed by this word today, and I know that we're going to have ourselves a great time. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your presence that we've felt already, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to come in and have your way in this service tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just pray your anointing over me, Lord. And as we get into the word and into the message and into the deep, real stuff, stuff about me that I'm going to testify tonight about, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you give me the strength to give the word that you bestowed on me to your people. We give you all the glory, all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. So tonight's message, when I was preparing for tonight, thank you, worship team. Let's give them a round of applause. So I was led to several different paths of what I wanted to do tonight. And then about 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in the sound booth because on Monday at staff meeting, I found out I was going to get the opportunity to preach. So I was sitting in sound booth 2 weeks ago, and Pastor Ronnie was preaching on the bridge of adversity. And I was just starting to put things together in my mind. And I thought I had a clear idea of what God wanted me to speak on. But I was completely wrong because he's given me a word for tonight. And as I looked around in the sound booth, I just seen multiple different variations of different people. And God was giving me what these people needed to hear. So I'm going to take this opportunity tonight and give this word to you that God has given me. And the crazy thing about that night, when I was in the sound booth, Pastor Justin came back to check on the media. And he said, hey, how's everything going? Is everything good? I'm like, yeah, everything's fine with the media. Live stream's fine. You know, YouTube's fine. I was like, but I'm not, because I'm looking around, and we were packed out. It was like our first Wednesday back, and I'm like, man, this is gonna be real. So my title tonight, if you could bring that up for me, Ryan, is What is Your Excuse? What is your excuse? So when we look at the word excuse, we're all familiar with excuses. If you're married, you've probably heard some excuses. If you have children, you probably hear excuses all the time. But tonight, we're not talking about those excuses. We're talking about the excuses that we use in our life to not step out in the will of God, to not be stretched. Because church tonight, I'm being stretched, right? I can go and speak in front of 500, 1,000 kids, no problem. But 200 adults, I'm being stretched. You know, Pastor Ronnie told me I wouldn't be able to preach in front of kids, you know? And this is just stretching me right now. But I don't want to make any excuses as to why I can't come up here tonight and give the word that God has given me. So let's look at the word excuse, the definition of the word excuse. Excuse, to give a reason for not doing something that you should do. So as Christians, we know what we should do, right? But we make excuses. We allow excuses to separate us from doing God's will. I can't go to church. I got something else going on, right? I can't pick up my Bible. I'm so caught up in doing different things, right? So that's what we're going to touch on today. We're not going to touch on those excuses that are stopping us from moving further in God's will and even doing the calling of God. Even stepping out further more than just reading our Bible, but allowing God to use us in different ways, whether that's finding a serve team, finding a worship team, going to kids' church, serving in youth, finding ways that God can use you. But before we begin, I just want to talk to you guys and be real. Can I testify for a minute? Because Pastor came up here and he said all kinds of great things about me. Brad said some great things about me. But I want to be real with you guys. I want to talk to you about what I had to walk through to get to this place that I am today. And you may look at Pastor Travis and you may see me and know things about me, but you don't know me. Growing up, I was never involved in church. I didn't step foot into a church looking for a service, looking for a touch of God until I was 26 years old, and that was Crystal River Church of God. But we didn't go to church. We respected church, but it wasn't something that we did. Come from generations of alcoholics. So I was destined to be that, right? But God had other plans. Yeah. Come on, I don't get amens in kids' church, but can I get some amens here? Right? So beyond that, parents got a divorce, seen things that I shouldn't have seen as a child. And then I go into middle school, start to experiment with drugs, start drinking alcohol. By, seventh grade, I'm smoking cigarettes and doing recreational drugs every day. High school was just a flyby. I don't even know how I got through it, but I ended up getting through it. But continued drug use, continued drinking. But then I got to the age where I could go to the club. So if you ever seen my moves, those are my BC moves. So, but hey, at least I got something good at, But anyway. But then I was able to go to the bars. I was able to go to the clubs. And then about 23 years old, I realized I'm going nowhere. I realized, what do I have to hold? What is going on? So that's when I just decided to, start to do some change in my life. And I enrolled in a college and I got a computer networking degree. Then I met my wife. And if you know my wife, she's grown up here at this church. She was a woman of God, and that's what I needed. So in order for me, when I seen her, because I lived in St. Pete at the time, we would, date long distance. And when I would come up here, one of the things that we did was go to church. So I went to church just to spend time with her. But being in the presence of Pastor Ronnie's messages, God grabbed a hold of me. And I know a lot of spouses and husbands tell their wives, I don't know where I'd be without you, but I honestly know where I would be without you, and I'm thankful for you. Yeah, go ahead and clap that one up. So anyway, I ended up getting saved, as Pastor said, got married here behind this pulpit, dedicated my children behind this pulpit, started serving, and then came on staff. Yes, the change was an instant. First it was salvation, then sanctification shortly followed thereafter. But the reason I'm telling you all this is because I could have made many excuses for God to not use me. Starting from my childhood, I kind of looked back at my childhood and said, God, who am I to be able to be used for that? Who am I to be able to be behind a pulpit today talking to, all of you guys after all the stuff that I've had to walk through? But God seen something in me, things that I didn't see. And he's using me for that. Now, so today we're going to look at the book of Exodus, and we're going to talk about Moses. We all know Moses, right? Okay, just making sure. In kids' church, we talk about Moses a lot, right? Moses is one of the Bible characters that we all know so much about because he's done so many great things. Parting the Red Sea, the Ten Commandments. I mean, the list goes on and on. But before Moses did the first task that God called him to do, he made excuses. And he tried to find every way that he could get away from doing what God has asked him to do. And I got to say, that's probably been me. You're thinking, Travis, you've been here for 11 years. You've been on staff for, 2 years, and you've never preached at big church? Not that Pastor Ronnie wouldn't give me the opportunity. I promise you, if I would have said, Pastor Ronnie, I really want to preach, he's going to allow me to. But I was like that kid in grade school when your teacher asked you to read and you count how many people are in front of you and like, yes, I might get out of this one. You know, it would come up in staff meeting and Aunt, you got it. You got it, Anthony. Justin, yeah, that's going to be a great service. But then I'm to the point where now where I want God to use me more and allow me to do more. Increase me so that I can increase the kingdom. So we're going to start in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 9 through 16. And before we go into the scripture, I just want to talk to you guys, give you kind of an idea of where we are. I have to do that with the kids a lot, so I want to help you guys out. So after 400 years, the Israelites are living in Egypt in captivity. A new Pharaoh comes into power, and he enslaves the descendants of Joseph. Moses is born. He's sent down the river in a basket by his loving mother, saved by Pharaoh's daughter from death, and later called by Egypt at the burning bush to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is, like I said, he's one of the most decorated men, but he came to God with many excuses as to why he couldn't do it. So let's go ahead and read the scripture. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send to you Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Underline that, circle that, highlight that, make a note of that, whatever way you do that. But I want you guys to hold on to that word right there, or those words. That I should go to the Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on his mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders in Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. So think for a moment right there. You're God. You have any person on the world in your disposal, right? You're the creator. You're the creator of man. You can use anyone, right? You would think you would send maybe a military person, a great dictator, a politician, right? Someone that is very wise and someone that's very smart. But instead, who does God send? God sends Moses. Moses, at this time, he's over 80 years old. Moses is a fugitive. He's running from justice. He's wanted for murder in Egypt. So God, you're going to send Moses, who's wanted for murder in Egypt, to Egypt to free the Israelites, right? So that's where we are right now. So let's look at our point number one, the excuse of inability. And that's the first excuse that Moses gives to God as to why he can't be the one that is being used to deliver the people. So Moses' first concern is that he is a nobody, and he is therefore unqualified to go to Pharaoh and demand the release of the Lord's people. He says, who am I? And many people in church, we feel the same way. We feel that we aren't as qualified as someone else, or that we just don't have the ability to do the job properly. And most of us, we tend to give up before we even start. We forget one important truth, and that's God has chose us. There's many times that I could have gave up, Pastor Anthony could have gave up, Pastor Ronnie could have gave up. It's hard, right? And it's easy to give up. Right? But God's response to Moses and to us is a promise. If you could put up next slide. So he said, there you go. I'm sorry, Ryan, go back one. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So God's response to Moses and to us is a promise. He tells Moses, I will go with you. And this is a promise of his presence. So if your excuse tonight is inability, God is with you. Right? when I look at myself, and I know I'm talking about me a lot today, but when it came to the ability to come up here, I can't do this by myself. You know, I need God to be with me. I need the Holy Spirit. I've been praying for the Holy Spirit to be with me for a week to get up here. You know, I'm just being real. But God gives us a promise that he's going to allow us to do that. So whether that's talking to an unsaved member in your workplace, how am I going to talk to them? Right? He's going to be with you to do it. If that's, you know, comforting someone that just lost someone, inviting someone to church, whatever it is, he's going to be with you in that uncomfortable situation that you're in. So God's response to Moses and to us is a promise that his presence is going to be with us. And Moses made excuses because he felt unqualified for the job that God has asked him to do. And it's natural for Moses to feel this way because if he was doing it on his own, he would be unqualified. But with God, he can do it. All things are possible with God. Next, we look at the excuse of inadequacy. The excuse of inadequacy. So verse number 13, it says, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?'" So after telling God all of his inabilities, Moses now moves on to talk about some of his inadequacies. In this verse, Moses is saying to the Lord, "I just don't know enough about who you are." And this really hit home for me because I'm a first-generation Pentecostal. You got that right, first generation, because I'm sure there's going to be generations after me. I'm doing what I can do to lay the foundation for that. But coming into ministry, I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't get saved till I was 26 years old. You know, I'm way behind the game, right? So when it looks at inadequacy, I feel inadequate at times. I feel inadequate because I don't know the Bible stories. I don't know the scriptures. I've read the Bible, yes, but I don't have them, you know, memorized. Some of you guys have been in church your whole life. You're several generations of Pentecostal. So I always feel that I'm inadequate. But church, what I do know and what I want to tell you today is I know where to find the answers. I know where to look. So there's no reason why I need to feel inadequate, because the same source that they're getting their information from, I'm getting my information from. But I just can't make excuses why I can't open it. I can't make excuses as why I can't live it. Make excuses why I can't do it. So many of us are in the same shape as Moses this evening. Not only do we feel that we are incapable of serving the Lord as we should, we also feel that we are inadequate. And somehow we just don't know enough about God, his word, to get the job done. So verse 14, Ryan, if you could pull that up. "And God says to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of the Lord, I am has sent me to you.'" So God's response to Moses is to remind him that he is I am. While Moses may feel inadequate, the God who calls him and equips him certainly is not inadequate. God is saying to Moses, "Just do as I say, and I will show you who I am and how you need me to do, however you need me to." So church, never allow a lack of education. Never allow a lack of knowledge. Never allow a lack of money, a lack of skill, or anything to stop you from being what God wants you to be. Even if you can't see it within yourself, there's times I don't see it in myself. You know, coming into the children's pastor's position, I felt very inadequate, but pastor seen something in me. Pastor William, 12 years he was children's pastor, correct? 14 years children's pastor. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. He seen something in me, allowed me to serve in ministry, and then grew me, allowed me to do more. So William, tonight I want to say thank you for not having an excuse and pouring into me. I want to say thank you for that. But even coming on staff, I mean, we have some amazing pastors, right? Pastor Ronnie, I mean, he could preach the paint off the wall. Pastor Anthony, he's very articulate and very knowledge. He has a lot of knowledge and uses words great. Pastor Justin, he can give a 5-point sermon in the announcements, you know? So for me to feel like I can measure up, I'm like, hey, I could do some puppets, you know, maybe some, you know, dance moves. So this is certainly hitting home to me. But think about that. Noah did not feel adequate next to the ark. David must have felt pretty small looking at Goliath. Daniel must have looked pretty inadequate looking in the lion's den. But all through the Bible, God's people have been placed along obstacles against which they look and felt inadequate when they're measuring up. But the power of God working through them, they were able to overcome it. And our next excuse that we have tonight is the excuse of perception. This one hits, I said they hit home for me. Like I said, this message is for me because every point is hitting home to me. The excuse of perception. What people will think of us. How people see us. People that know us. People that we were out in the world with. And they see us and we get radically changed. We get radically saved. Right? How are they going to see us? Right? And we allow that excuse to hinder us from moving forward in God's will and doing more in God's will. So after the Lord handles all of Moses' excuses, Moses decides that if he tells people that he had a personal meeting with God himself, no one will believe what he tells them. Then Moses, thank you, Ryan. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. And many of us, we deal with this because we have backstories. We have BC before Christ came in and changed us, right? And we allow that to hinder us and to stop us because how someone perceives us and how they look at us. So when we begin to talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, people get held back from telling a friend about that. Like I said about the unsaved coworker, right? When we have that person at work that isn't serving the Lord, has no relationship with Christ. But we come in church and we have an amazing service. We're laid out on the altars, right? God's just wrecked us that Sunday at church. But maybe we don't minister to them. Maybe we don't speak into them because the way that they live in the world or the way that they see us and the way that we used to live in the world. So we can't allow that perception to stop us from moving forward and ministering to God's people. So God's responses to Moses was to let him know that when the Lord gets through working in him and through him, there will be no doubt in the minds of others as to the truth of Moses' story. In fact, church, we are inferior to anyone this evening. We are inferior to anyone's perception of us and how God sees us, right? So we can't allow their perception to stop us from moving forward in our work with God. Because, church, we are people of greatness. Therefore, let us allow the Lord the right of way in our lives. Let's quit giving excuses. Let's quit hindering him from working in us. And let's let him take full control of our lives. Let us give him the room to work in us so that this lost world may see that there is power in the blood of Jesus still today, yesterday, and forever. And he's still saving souls. And there is hope for their souls too. Now, the perception has really hit me because in November of last year, a childhood buddy of mine, I grew up with him since I was a little kid. His mother was like a mother to me, tragically passed away. And the family knew I was in ministry, and they're in St. Pete. I'm up here in Citrus County, so I haven't really had a whole lot of contact with family and old friends from my past. But the family was they wanted me to do the funeral of my friend. And I wanted to do the funeral of my friend very much because, he was like a brother to me. But the perception hindered me. I used the excuse of perception so much that I almost said no. To honor my friend, to say no, because I was worried about the people that I was in the world with, that I was partying with, that I was doing drugs with, or how are they going to be able to receive what I have to tell them? And their perception almost stopped me. But I got to the point, no, I need to go. Because I want you to see that there is life on the other side of the way that you're living in. That what God did for me, he can do for you as well. And after the funeral, several people came up to me and was like, man, that's so amazing. I'm so proud of you and what you're doing. And the family was so blessed to have me there. And it was such a huge blessing to me. But I almost let the perception of people that I used to run wild with stop me from doing the will of God because I was worried of what they were going to think of me being up there. Who am I? Like Moses says, who am I? The excuse of perception. And the final excuse that I have for you guys today is the excuse of infirmity. The excuse of infirmity. So in a last-ditch effort to escape the task that God intended for him, Moses appears to have some type of speech impediment. Whether he's slow to respond or whether it's a speech impediment, I mean, at this point in time, Moses is trying to give everything to God. Like, hey, no, I can't do this because I don't know enough about you. I can't do this because I don't have the ability to do it. I can't do this because I'm worried about what people are going to think. So now he's down to using anything that he can at his disposal to get out of going to deliver the Israelites from the Egypt. Now, in verse 11, if you could put that up for me, Ryan. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So God's response to him is, hey, Moses, I'm the creator. I've done this for you. But Moses is still trying to say, hey, God, is there anyone else? Come on, there's got to be somebody better than me, God. Come on. Right? So he's trying everything that he can. And many of us are just like Moses. You know, we look at our lack of education or a physical handicap, our age. We look at our income. You name it. Anything we can do, we look at it in an effort to stay out of God's field of work. Right? There's plenty of servant opportunities here. They happen on Sunday, right? They happen on Wednesday. Now, you might come up with some kind of excuse to say, hey, well, you know, I work late. Or whatever the case may be, there's many things that you might use to diverge the opportunity to serve God, right? And we can't do that. We can't allow those things to stop us. We can't use those as excuses. They are legitimate excuses for, these are not legitimate excuses for serving the Lord. Because there's no legitimate excuse to serve the Lord, right, church? Right. Now, whatever your holdup may be, God is going to allow you in God's will, and he has a plan for you to step up out of your comfort zone. God was well aware of it before he chose you to do the work. God's response to Moses is that he made man's mouth. He made man's mind, and he was able to give man everything that he needed. So there's no excuse, church. He's created you. He knows everything about you, right? You can't think that he's not going to use me because of all this. He knows all this before he uses you, right? He knows what he's getting himself into. But God sends Moses a helper, and he's going to send Aaron, a spokesperson, to the Pharaoh, his brother, along with him. So, but we too have a helper, church. We have a helper that is with us. We might not have our brother Aaron like Moses did, but we have the Holy Spirit, right? And we can do anything in God's work. We can do anything in God's field with the Holy Spirit living and working in us. So I encourage you today, if any of these excuses are holding you back, the Holy Spirit's going to come in, and he's going to give you the help and guidance that you need to be able to accomplish this task, just like he did Moses. John 16:15, if you could put that up for me, Ryan. It says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He is ever with us, and he will teach us what we know along the way. His plan is to help us along the way, so that we might be able to be the best Christians that we can and be the glory and give and do it for the glory of God. So if your excuse tonight is infirmity, then you can send that thought back to the pit of hell where it came from. Go ahead. Because church, God used a donkey to talk to Balaam so he can use you. Church, he used a rooster to speak to Peter. So guess what? He can use you. He used old sheepskin to speak to Gideon, and he can use you. But church, all he asks is that you're available and that you're usable. Brad, if you guys could come up and help me close. So it appears to me by reading this scripture tonight that regardless of the excuse that man has for not doing the will of God, God always has an answer. And here's the bottom line. If there's anything that I want you to take away from tonight, is this last point right here, if you could put that up for me, Ryan, is that God wants to use you. Each and every one of you, God wants to use you. He wants to stretch you. He wants to expand you. And he wants to do great things through you. He has saved you by his grace. And he has made something out of your life. Now he wants to show you off to the world, church. He wants to show you off to those lost souls. Right? Just like he used me to speak to the people that I used to, you know, hang out with or, you know, live in the world with, right? He used me because those souls are lost. They can receive it from me. And he's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. And he's got a plan for you. He's got people for each of you that he wants to use you to, you know, speak to them. So the best thing you can do is throw down any excuse and realize that God is able in every aspect that we are not. Our heart's desire should be and must be to serve the Lord with all the cost. Because church, he died for you at all cost. Right? So there should be no reason that we're allowing anything to stop us from serving him. He didn't stop anything from saving us. So we shouldn't allow anything to stop us from serving him and giving him our all. Church, Moses was a murderer. Noah was a drunk. Joseph was abused. Paul killed Christians. Rahab was a prostitute. Jonah was a coward. And David committed adultery. But God still used each of them to do amazing things in his glory. So church, if you still think that you're too messed up for God to use you, you were wrong, right? God loves using broken people to do great things. God specializes in using broken people. So if you're flawed tonight, if you have excuses or you feel like you're flawed, I got good news for you. God wants to use you. If you could stand to your feet. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. First thing I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus and you want to start a relationship with him tonight, I promise you we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to make you do anything other than just slip up your hand. So if that's you tonight where you're setting your, not sure your relationship with Christ, you're not sure that he's a servant of your heart, I want you to lift that hand. I see that hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. So what I would like for you to do is I'd like for you to recite this prayer with me for the one that raised their hand tonight. Because we don't want to, you know, single him out and make him say this prayer alone, but I want you guys to say it with me. Heavenly Father, I believe that you died on a cross for my sin. I confess my sin to you today. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Make me whole. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, go ahead. Give him a hand clap of praise. Now, at this time, I want you to think. And Spirit Life team, if you guys could come up and join me. I want you to take a moment and say, that's me, Travis. I've been making excuses in every which way that I can. I've been throwing everything at God to not use me. And if that's you today, I want you to slip up your hand. Where you're at, I see that hand. See that hand. Hands all across the room. I want to pray for you. Because, church, I've been dealing with excuses for 2 years. I've been dealing with excuses my whole life. When I was building this slide, my wife, when I put up the definition of an excuse, she said, that's you all the way. Like I said, this message is for me. But church, I'm done with excuses. I want God to use me. I want God to come up here and have his way with me. And if that's you tonight, I want you to recite this prayer with me. And then once we're done with this prayer, I want you to move. I want you to come up here if you need prayer for any reason, or if the Spirit Life team is up here and they want to pray with you. But I want to pray for you guys that raised your hand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity today, Lord. Lord, that you can use me in your mighty ways, Lord, to speak to these people. And Lord, I just pray for those that raised their hand today, Lord. I pray that when they leave here, that they can leave here knowing that they don't have to live on excuses no more, Lord. Lord, they don't have to wonder who I am, like Moses said to you, Lord. Lord, but they can walk free. They can walk in your will. And Lord, I just pray that and thank you for this opportunity to have this service tonight, Lord. And I thank you for what you're going to do in their lives, Lord. Lord, expand them, grow them, use them to multiply the kingdom, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.